Our scripture lesson reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 169. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves. Let light shine out of darkness. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, sir. Gospel, the good news. And we're going to turn to Mark, and we're going to hear what Mark has to share with us as we hear the word. If you are comfortable standing during this, we appreciate your standing during the reading of the gospel. This is Mark 1, 40 to 45. A leper came to Jesus, and kneeling, he said to Jesus, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, Jesus sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But the man went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Any of you ever watch late night TV? The commercials, you don't need to really answer that. The commercials are always interesting. Special offers for knives and for this and for that. You can buy this can of this goop and it'll seal your screen. In fact, this guy cut a hole in the bottom of his boat and he put this stuff on it and he sealed it out. It'll seal your boat. And wait, if you call right now, he'll give you not one but two bottles of this goop for only $19.95. Call right now. Operators are standing by. How'd I do? I'm hired or fired, one of those, huh? Church, I have to confess to you, your pastor confessing, I'm intolerant of some commercials. The ones that shout at us. Usually car dealerships for some reason. I don't know what the deal is. They have passed laws that your content of your movie or whatever, and the commercial has to be the same volume, but somehow that has not translated into anything resembling reality. And so the shouting is a particular intolerance of mine. And now I'm going to date myself. How many of you remember before we had FM radio? I had a car, a Volkswagen, and it only had an AM radio in it. And I heard about this thing called FM. So I had to get a special FM tuner that tied in and brought it in, and it was wonderful. You could turn to these FM stations, and not only were they stereo, but there were no commercials on them when they first came out. Do you remember that? FM had zero commercials. Those of you who are younger, it was a great time. That certainly is not the case anymore. But I guess my intolerance grew, and so I have more of a tendency to listen to public radio. Public radio is basically commercial free, and At one point, it was subsidized through taxes and through government support, and now it is much less so and more subscriber or listener supported. And I listened to a jazz station here in Aurora, Denver, called Kuvo. And I love listening to it because they play classic jazz, they play contemporary jazz, they play. On Sundays, they have a show called the Afro Pop program. And this guy talks about music in Africa. I don't understand a word of what they're singing. I don't know a word about what's going on, but it is celebrative and it is exciting, and some of it's awfully noisy, but all of the variations. So I'm not trying to be an advertisement for public radio, but the downside of public radio is twice a year they do their fundraising week. And you tune in and they say, well, we're fundraising, so if you call in and pledge your support at any level, and if you call in at that $50 level, we have a CD for you. If you call in at a $100 level, we have a free coffee mug for you. And if you become a member and give every month, and so there's more of that salesmanship going on. It's intriguing that as they are about doing their fundraising, they have found that one of the best ways to do the fundraising is saying, here's what you get when you help support this radio station. You get this program. Channel, the channel on TV, Channel 6, Channel 12, PBS is the most easiest example. You get Sesame Street, and you get news, and you get these things. And so they list the programs, and you can kind of run through your mind and say, you know, it's worth giving a little money to support Sesame Street. My kids grew up with that. We learn things. I know people who learned how to read by watching Sesame Street. So it's worth supporting it because this is what you get for your money. We've been trained in our society for that. Someone writes you a letter saying, we'd like you to give, and this is why, and this is what we're going to do with it. And so you kind of evaluate, and you look over, and you make a judgment about the worth of that particular project, and you make a decision. The interesting part is that churches, we don't quite work the same way, although there's a temptation to do that. In fact, in the Middle Ages, and I want to make a caveat at the very beginning, that the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages was a business that had gotten way out of control. And it is not the same church that it is today, and I'm not criticizing the Roman Catholic Church of the day, which does a lot of good. But in the Middle Ages, they had gotten to the point that they sold the church. They sold salvation. They sold heaven. How many of you can sing a little bit? All the choir people raising their hands. Yes, yes, yes. How many of you could paint if you had to? How many of you could do some sculpting maybe, or maybe some cooking, or maybe write a little something? Well, you could do that for your church, and they would give you a certificate of indulgence. You see, and this was a little coupon. And if you got enough of those, you bought your way into heaven. You were guaranteed salvation. And this is how they sold the church, and they sold salvation, and they sold. It worked. Look at some of the cathedrals. Look at some of the artworks. Look at some of the tremendous things that were done. But it didn't work either, did it? Selling heaven. That's one of the reasons that this Roman Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther stepped forward in 1517. He said, I protest this. That's why we're called Protestant. And he began what was known as the Radical Reformation. He's with the 95 Theses on the church door at Wittenberg. Within 50 years of Martin Luther's split from the church, up to that point, there had been only one division of the church, the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Church. But for 1,500 years, we'd had one body of Christians. And within 50 years of Martin Luther, there were dozens and dozens of denominations. You could try and count how many denominations there are in Aurora, but you'd have to do it given at a specific moment in time. I swear it changes daily. Wherever two or more are gathered, there will be an argument, and they will split and form two more churches. That's not in the scripture per se, but all of this, as we read the miracle story of Mark's about Jesus healing the leper. Now, I've got a little work for you to do. You have to pull out your Bibles, pull out the pew Bible. It's in the pew rack there. I know that Sue takes good care of us, but we're going to make you read a little bit here for today. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right page number. Page 33 of the New Testament there, and flip around to that. As we're reading, we're going to read together. Let's read from 40. A leper came to him begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Verse 41. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." In the middle of that verse, the word pity is followed by an O, superscripted O. It means there's a footnote, and you look down to the footnote, and it says, other authorities, instead of saying Jesus was moved by pity, say Jesus was moved by anger. That's a heart-stopping difference. That's a huge difference. That's an amazing... I hope you can put your Bibles away or you can continue to reading. Don't ever stop reading your Bibles on my account or anyone else's. But there's a translational variance there that calls into account something that challenges us and that asks us some serious questions. The man has come. He wants to be healed, and Jesus is moved by pity or anger. We are not sure. He says, "I do choose, be made clean." He's healed, he's made clean. And the two are distinctly important pieces, and they're separate. One is he's this skin disease. By the way, leprosy did not exist at that point in time. So this was not leprosy, but there were numerous skin problems, infections, maladies, and they all get translated as the word leprosy, and some could be healed. Leprosy as we know it today cannot. That's a little aside there. That was a little bit of the teacher coming out on me. We'll set that down for a minute. But he makes him clean. He cures him of this skin ailment, and then he makes him clean because now he is able to rejoin society. If you were afflicted with these things, you were an outcast. You were unclean. You were being afflicted because you were a sinner, and as such, you had to be kept at arm's length, kept out of social gathering, kept out of places, set apart, condemned, and looked down upon. And in changing that, he now returns this man to right relationship with society. He's made clean. It's an amazing change. And we need to hear that. Isn't like going to the doctor and say, "Doc, I got this rash," and they give you a little ointment and you're cured. This is a life-changing event. But he turns to the man and he says, "See that you tell no one, say nothing to anyone." That's the Revised Standard Version translation. "See that you say nothing to anyone. Zip the lip, bub. Keep her quiet. Don't spread the word around here." But the man did not obey Jesus, and he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. Why did you suppose that Jesus would have kept this quiet? We were just talking a minute ago about how we promote something. Here's what you get when you give to PBS. Here are the programs you are supporting. Well, think about this here. If you come and join our church, we'll give you healing, make you clean, make you healed. I'll tell you what, that's quite a selling pitch. Who would not line up? I'm not sure how to ask this question. Is there anyone here that has no infirmities they'd not like to have cured? Is there anyone here that would not like to be as healthy as we were when we were 25 again? Jim Latow, did you just raise your hand back there? Get your hand down. You Jim Latow, he's that character. Keep an eye on him. Here is a way of selling the church beyond any we could imagine. Here is a way that who would not go? Have you seen when a new phone comes out and the people that camp overnight and wait to be in line? Now, I don't know if any of you do that, and more power to you. And it's kind of, have you gotten to do that? For shoes, okay. Shoes or phones or musical? What was it? Was coming, Hamilton is coming to Denver, and people were waiting and preparing ahead of time. I was halfway tempted, actually, but waiting for something and anticipating and the excitement. And can you imagine that affliction that's been bothering you, that shoulder or that leg or that heart or those eyes? No, go to Jesus. It cures it right here and now. Who would not go? Of course we would. What a celebration. What an excitement. And what a sales pitch. But Jesus says, no, don't spread the word around. Why would he not? Why did he say no? You see, he gets mobbed. He gets mobbed to the point that everybody's saying, heal me, do this, heal me, heal me, heal me. And that's a wonderful thing. And if you're a hospital and if you're a doctor and you're about those that healing, what a wonderful thing. And imagine the gifts you could offer out to people. But Jesus was here for a different reason than just performing miracles. He was here not to build an audience, but to build congregations, to build churches. And he had that job to do, and he had a finite amount of time to do that and to begin that work. He wasn't here to see how many likes he could get on Facebook. He wasn't here to see how much publicity he could get. He wasn't here to try and rack up a list of patients and testimonials. He was here to gather people to become churches. It's a huge difference. And it's important sometimes when we're about being church that we pause and reflect on what that means to be a church. To be a congregation, to be a body that gathers together, that comes together and acknowledges God and gives thanks and gives worship to God. A lot of people seem to think that they've got the whole world in hand and it's their own hard work that gets them there. And they fail to acknowledge the gifts and graces that God has given them to be able to do that will and work. And the privilege of being born in a place where you can do that work. In 1990, I was in Haiti. And we were trying to help build a school there. But on the one day, we took a tour to see one of some of the local sites. And as we were driving along, we came to one place where we were going to stop at this overlook, looking down onto Port-au-Prince. And there were probably a dozen young men there. Polished black shoes, black suit pants, white, purely washed and pressed shirts, just very professionally attired. And they said, we will do anything for you that you want. Just hire us to do something for you. Well, what could we hire them to do? But they had no way to make money. There was no business. There was no occupation. There was no place to. And they were doing their very best to try and provide for their families. And I thought, those are the kind of applicants I'd like to see at businesses today in the United States. There are some dedicated employees. But the grace of God has blessed us to be born here and has not blessed them to be born here. So to acknowledge and gather as we gather as a church, as a congregation and worship, we give thanks for the gifts of where we're born and how we're born and the families that we're born into. We come to study. I guess that teacher piece fits in here a little bit, doesn't it? We come to learn, and here was another piece of the scripture we hadn't understood here. Jesus, did he respond to the man in pity or in anger? and was angry because he knew that it was going to close his opportunities to do the ministry in that place? We don't know. And in the midst of our studies, we're on this journey together. You and I are all on a journey, and our paths are a little bit different, but each one of those paths is a path to try and follow the master teacher as closely as we can. And sometimes we need refined and redirected. Sometimes we've taken a wrong turn, and we kind of need to be looped back into the right direction. Sometimes we need nudged, and sometimes we need unsettled, and sometimes we need just comforted. But that's what congregation, that's what church, that's what the body is about. And the church is here to offer light to the world. How do we go about doing that? We're not a country club. We have something else that we're about, and that is about saying, there is a potential to be God's people and find a world that's better. We want to offer that light. And we want to build the body. We want to invite people in. We want to bring them, but without selling them. Because, you know, all of that selling, all of that connectedness comes with each of us and our personal relationship with our Lord. That's not something you sell or buy. So Jesus didn't come to build audiences, but to build congregations. Maybe that's what Paul was talking about when he wrote, we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as teacher and ourselves as disciples. All right, church. Welcome. Peace. Amen.